Amen. Rescuing the righteous. I began this series telling you, and last week I told you that God cares about the righteous. When I say righteous, I'm talking about those who have come to have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe that sometimes as believers, we sometimes think that it could not happen to us, that we can't mess up, or if we mess up, that's it for us. That is primarily the mindset of some people. They believe that after I've messed up, God is not going to fool with me anymore. But that's not the truth. The truth of the matter is that sometimes strong people get weak sometimes. And the righteous who know the word of God and who know about God are not exempt from drifting off the path that God has for them. Lot had hardened his heart and was influenced by the world so much that he lost his identity. Lot wanted to live on top of the world. Lot wanted to be a baller, a shot caller. Lot wanted to be the bag. Amen. Lot had lost his mind. He did not want anything to do with Abraham. He did not want anything to do with his uncle because he wanted to live independent of God's guidance. How does the righteous drift so far that they need a rescue team to come get them? Have you ever drifted before? Anybody? Have you ever fell off the path? Have you ever became independent of God and yet inside you felt justified? Amen. Even justifying your wrong. I believe that's Lot's story here. Lot, who was rescued before by his uncle, is now living in a place, and I told you that Lot had embraced the homosexual lifestyle of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, if you don't know what Sodom and Gomorrah is, it is a place much like the place we live today, where alternative lifestyles and homosexual lifestyles are accepted as the normal. That ain't my business, so I don't judge nobody. So, you know, you do what you do. But here's the thing, God, in God's eyes, God says that he's coming to destroy this city. Amen. Why? Because the sin was so great that God says, I can't take it no more. You know it's something wrong with your life when God says, I can't take you messing up no more, right? Like you really taking me there. Anybody been there with your kid? Amen. Where they take you there. Amen. And God says, no. Listen, whether you want to be rescued or not, I'm coming to get you. Now, remember, the angels first appeared to Abraham and says, listen, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot and Abraham interceded for the city because he knew that Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, listen, I have found no one that's right. I can't even find 10 people. But God knew that Lot was there. Aren't you glad that God knows where you are? Aren't you glad that God knows how to rescue you? Listen, some of us may think that because we've messed up so bad that we can't be used by God again. But I stop by to tell you, we serve a God of grace and a God of mercy. And here's what's interesting about Sodom. The wicked people of Sodom, they had short memories. because God had delivered them through the hands of Abraham out of captivity of Chedorlaomer in Genesis 14. In Genesis 14, they were delivered, but watch this, they soon forgot who delivered them. Do I have a witness? You see, sometimes, you know, success can cause you to become real comfortable where you start forgetting that you were delivered. And so we find here in the passage that the men of the city had come up to Lot's house. They were trying to rape the men that was in their house. This is the Bible. I'm not saying anything that's outside the Bible. But verse 11, look at it. Verse 11 says what? So the men who were the angels in the house struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with what? Blindness. You see, God knows how, oh, I wish I had somebody, how to fix it. God knows how to rescue the righteous. The Bible says they struck them with blindness, both small and great, so they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. You know what that tells you? Satan ain't gonna stop even though God blinds him. Satan doesn't stop even though he may run into some interference. He wants to destroy us, he wants to steal from us, and he wants to kill us. But God knows how to rescue, oh, come on, help me somebody, the righteous. And so we get to verse 12. It says, and then the two men, look what he says, the two men with the angels said to Lot, whom else have you here? So they're assuming now, they says, a son-in-law and your sons and your daughters. Remember, he had two virgin daughters who were not married yet, right? But it seems to me that he had some other daughters. But watch this. Whomever you have in the city. Now, if I were to say how God rescues the righteous, I would say this. I say my first point is this. God's grace will give the righteous and everyone with them an opportunity to be rescued. Tell your neighbor God's grace. Remember, righteous Lot recognized these men as what? Angels, but nobody else knew that they were angels. In other words, God had to speak to the righteous one who was living among the unrighteous, and I'll show you next week that Lot never shared any information about what he knew about God. So God had to speak to him, but it's by God's grace. They were the people, his kids, his son-in-laws, but his children were born in Sodom and Gomorrah. Watch this. They were created there. They were born there, but they knew nothing about God. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Sometimes the righteous can be so silent about their faith that even the people close to them don't know anything about God. You see, you got to be careful. That when the enemy comes and he causes us to drift off the path, that we're still talking about what we know about God. Yet, God's grace. This was not a force rescue mission. This was a grace rescue mission. And aren't you glad that grace means that you don't get what you really deserve? Aren't you glad that it's because of God's grace that as a righteous person, amen, and even when you fall, God will pick you up. Even though you may drift off the path, God knows how to rescue the righteous. I'm glad today that grace is what met me. Oh, I wish I had somebody 20-something years ago. And even as a believer, when I fall off the path, God's grace I will run into eventually. The text says that he asked them, listen, he asked him, he said, who else have you here? Son-in-law, sons, and your daughters? Look what he goes on to say next. He says, whomever you have in the city, watch this, bring them out of the place. What place? The place of sin, the place of perversion, the place of lust, the place of depravity, the place of homosexuality, the place where people were committing such sins in the eyes of God that God says, I can't even stand looking at them. How does the righteous get caught up in stuff like that? How does the righteous get caught up and end up going to jail for scandals and for this? Come on, y'all. Listen, if I were to go down the list today of how we see preachers living, oh, I wish I had somebody. But let's talk about how the people are living. Because the people are a reflection of the pastor. Because the pastor is the one who's supposed to feed you, lead you, guide you, take care of you spiritually. And here's the thing, the one thing we have to remind ourselves is this. You may think you're strong enough to handle unrighteousness, but I thank God that it's his grace that will rescue you. But I love this phrase. He says, I will bring them out of what? The place. So the next point is this. God's mercy will bring the righteous and everyone with them out of the dark place. Aren't you glad that it's God's grace and God's mercy? Sometimes I think about it, y'all. I don't deserve anything that God has given me. But I thank God that even though Lot had lived a life among the unrighteous, even though Lot, the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, that his soul was being tormented day and night. In other words, Lot had a choice, but he had a stronghold. And can I tell you something? Sometimes it's because of our loyalties to the world, our loyalties to certain people, it's the reason why we can't leave those dark places. But aren't you glad that God's grace and mercy will meet you in those dark places? Anybody here, anybody in a dark place right now? Anybody going through something right now? Can I help you with something? God's mercy will find you and he will rescue you from whatever Satan has set up to destroy you. I'm glad today that the God I serve, oh, you get me real early right there, but that's all right. The God I serve, you see, mercy means compassion. See, that's the main thing about God's mercy. God knows where we are at all times. He says, listen, if you make your bed in hell, he knows. He said, before a word is on your mouth, he knows. And if God knows everything and God is everywhere all at the same time, how do we sometimes believe that we can stay in the dark place and stay there and God not know where we are? I thank God that the psalmist says that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? For the Lord is with me. You know what I think about when I think about Lot? I think about the fact that Lot does not deserve any of this. And this is the reason why I see God's grace all over his life. Anybody here wants grace over your life? Anybody wants mercy over your life? Saints, I want to help you with something. Don't you ever forget that God's grace is always available and God's mercy is always available. You have a 24-hour connect to God. But when God sends his rescue mission, his rescuers to pull you out, take heed. Take heed. God's been warning you. You heard it on the radio. You heard it through your friends. Come on, somebody. Somebody's been telling you, come on, man, you know, you ought to do this. You know, come on, man. And that's God's way of rescuing you. Are you with me? Now look at verse 13. I'm almost done. Verse 13 says, for what? For we, now this is crazy right here. So the revelation now is this. Get your children. Isn't God good? God told Lot, go get your son-in-laws. Go get your who? Your sons, your son-in-laws, your daughters. And look what it says back in that verse 12. It says, and whom what? Whomever. Tell your neighbor, that's grace. Did he have to do it? He didn't have to do it. He did not have to do it. And he didn't have to do it for you, and he didn't have to do it for me. But I thank God that he thought enough of me. And next week I'll show you that not everybody will want to go with you. See, because some people get comfortable living that kind of life. They don't mind living just any kind of ordinary life. They don't mind living below the standards. But whenever God has something great, my question is, why is God rescuing Lot? For one reason, he was righteous. And once saved, oh, I wish I had you. I'm going to say, people may talk about you, but you better tell them, I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I may not be filled with the Holy Ghost right now, but guess what? I'm working on that. Because positionally, I'm righteous. I'm going to say it one more time. Positionally, I'm righteous. Now, here's what I'm saying about being righteous. I'm not talking about being good according to what you think is good. Oh, praise the Lord, saints. Oh, amen. I ain't talking about that. No, I'm talking about a heart that lines up with a life that says, if God says homosexuality is wrong, then it's wrong. If God says sex out of marriage is wrong, then it's wrong. And what I'm going to do as a righteous person, y'all ain't saying amen. Watch this. If God says that's what it is, then I'm living in agreement with God. And saints, let me minister to you right quick. When you live in agreement to God, I told those graduates yesterday that just remember, before God saved us, we were fools. How many of you was a fool? You a plumb fool. I told them there are two types of fools, you know. There's one fool who says there's no God. That has to do with their belief. And then the other fool has no wisdom. I was the other fool. Because I did believe there was a God, but I just did not know who he was. Do I have a witness? But I'm glad that God knows so much about our foolishness that he knows that we will again and again and again and again get into some stuff. Ha! That's foolish. But yet, he will rescue us. Oh, I thank God for his grace and his mercy. Now, I'm trying to figure out, when was the last time you really thanked him for his grace and his mercy? You thought it was over for you, but God reached down. Oh, I wish I had you. And he picked you up and he pulled you out. And he delivered you. Anybody here ever been delivered? I thank God for deliverance. Because let me share something about deliverance. When you've been delivered, you can shout. You know why? Because you know now that you're free. Do I have anybody here who can say today, I'm free. I've been delivered. I'm no longer bound to whatever that was holding me back. Grace and mercy. He says, for we are about to to destroy this place. You know that word destroy is not what we think. The word there, it has the idea to ruin something that's already been ruined. Amen. To add more corruption to what's already been corrupted. Watch this. So the next thing is, when God wants to rescue you, watch this. God's power will destroy whatever is hindering the righteous. Satan ain't got that much power. And you are a child of God. So you got God's grace. You got God's mercy. And now you got God's what? The only person that can destroy any. Those people that are trying to threaten you, they can't threaten you. They can't do nothing to you. But when God's power steps in, listen, the people, places, and things, see, Lot didn't want to be rescued. So God had to destroy the very thing that was hindering him. What was hindering him? Sodom and Gomorrah. We may not think it's unrighteousness the way we're living, but God knows, and he's already decided. Tell your neighbor, it's already been decided for you. Aren't you glad that God knows how to rescue the righteous? Can I tell you what his power is able to do? His power is able to look down the corridors of time and see the moment when you are at your last leg and pick you up and turn you around and place your feet on a solid ground. Aren't you glad that the power of God can get through anything and anyone and anything that stands in the way of God's rescuing you? He will move it by his power. By his power, he created the world. By his power, come on somebody, he hung the moon and the stars. By his power, come on somebody, he saved you and I. Aren't you glad that by his power, he can remove whatever it is that's hindering your relationship with him? I'm glad today that it's by his power that I can stand here and declare that he's good. Anybody here know that he's good? Y'all fooling me this morning. Anybody here know that he's good? How good is he? Tell me, how good is he? Is he better than good? Is he gooder than good? I know that's Ebonics, but I'm just saying, but check this out. He's so good that he told Lot, I'm about to destroy this place. Now, I'm going to stop here and I need to explain the next part of this verse. I want you to pay close attention to this part, right? It says, because, and isn't that awesome? Does God owe us an explanation about anything? If God decides to do something, come on somebody. If God decides to do something, does he need your permission? Does God need to ask you why he's doing something? But the fact that he reveals it, it's his grace. It's his mercy. It's his power. But watch this. Watch the text. It says, because their outcry, look at it, has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us, the angels, to what? So back in chapter 18, the Lord spoke about the outcry that he heard from the people, watch this, in the surrounding cities against Sodom and Gomorrah. So look, Sodom and Gomorrah's greatest sin was homosexuality. But what they were doing was so perverse and so sinful in the eyes of God, they were forcing people into this lifestyle by force. So check this out. You see where it says they cried out? God heard them crying out. All right, so this is not the cry of the righteous. This is the cry of the unrighteous. So the cries, this is the cries of the oppressed outside and within Sodom and Gomorrah, which God heard. So the Hebrew word for outcry, number one, it's the cry of the oppressed and the brutalized. That's number one. Number two, it is the cry of the oppressed widow and orphan. Number three, it's the cry of the oppressed servant, the one who's speaking for God but keeps getting in trouble for speaking for God. It is the cries of the Israelites in Egypt, and then when they got out, three clicks later, they start complaining, talking about, should we have went back to Egypt? They had forgotten why they were crying. Listen to me real good. Jeremiah used this word as the screams and terror of the individual in a city when it's being attacked. Such an outcry, watch this, is the miserable wail of the oppressed and the brutalized. Watch this. You crying out is different than the unrighteous crying out. The unrighteous is crying out, and the only way to help them is to destroy them. When you cry out, God delivers you. Oh, I don't think you caught that just yet. I'm going to say it one more time. There's two different types of cries. There's the cries of those who are unrighteous. And God says the only way to ease your pain. But the cry of the right. Aren't you glad you're the righteous? Hey, don't worry. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about the unrighteous. The unrighteous has already made up in their mind that they want unrighteousness. And so what was happening in this city, God activated his plan of rescue for Lot because he had already decided that they were not going to turn. Aren't you glad you're the righteous? Come to me, all you. Oh, I wish I had a few people. When I call on the Lord, he will answer me. Can I help somebody with something? He was not rescuing Lot because Lot cried for help. He was rescuing Lot because he was destroying the place where Lot decided that he wanted to live apart from God. The depravity, the homosexuality, the acts that had crept into the city, and watch it, the forced sexual assaults that had taken place in the city where the people were victimized. The cries we hear was the pain and suffering that was self-afflicted, that, watch this, that had already made up in their minds that they did not want to get out of. But God says, I'm coming to get you, Lot. Listen, you may be there right now. You may not know that you are caught up in a situation, but God says you got to move out the way. This was not a demolition notice. This was not a demolition notice. This was not a demolition notice in order to make way for an urban renewal. The reason that Sodom was being destroyed was because of its sin. God's message to the lost world is that judgment is coming, but his promise to his own people is that he will rescue you. Aren't you glad that God will rescue you? And can I help you with something? If you are the righteous, you ought to open your mouth and tell somebody that Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. You ought to try to witness to the unrighteous They are crying out for help, but they can't help themselves. But I thank God that even though he has one lost sheep, he leaves the 99 and he goes and he finds that one. And when he finds that one, he brings him back home. Thank God. Thank God that every now and then, when I start drifting off the path, he hears my cry. He hears my weeping. He knows that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Do I have anybody here this morning who want to rejoice with me to say I got joy this morning? All may not be good, but all is well. I thank God that he knows, where I am. Thank God that every now and then when I mess up, he knows how to rescue me from everything that I decided that I wanted to do. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will. I said he will. He will establish your way. Thanks be to God that he knows. I said he knows. He knows. He knows how to rescue. How to rescue the righteous. So my last point is, God's judgment will rescue the righteous from that nightmare. God's justice will rescue the righteous from that nightmare. Can I have anybody in here who knows what I'm talking about? Have you ever had a bad dream? Have you ever, your dream ever turned into your reality? Some of you are living a nightmare right now. But God, his justice, in other words, what the devil's trying to do to you, God's justice will step in and bring about punishment for whoever is trying to hold you back. Thanks be to God that his justice will prevail. His justice will always prevail. You have plus justice plus righteousness equals deliverance. Thank God that what the devil meant for evil, God meant it for my good. Come on and give him a hand clap of praise and tell him, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They may lie on you. They may talk about you. But his justice, his justice, will rescue you always. I don't know if you remember the old westerns. Gary Cooper called The Hanging Tree. Y'all remember that? Gary Cooper is a doctor and he saves people's lives. And in one of the episodes, a young man got shot and he was dying. Gary Cooper goes in and pulls out the bullet and is able to save the man's life. The man is grateful for having been rescued and he asks, what can I do for you, doctor? What can I do for you? Gary Cooper says, well, you know, I've always needed an assistant. So why don't you assist me? I'll teach you what to do. When the young man asked how long the doctor wanted him to help, Gary Cooper replies, for the rest of your life, because that's how long you would have been dead if I hadn't saved you. Lord have mercy. God has said to you and me, that is what I want for the rest of your life on earth. Since I saved you, I want you to yield your life and your purpose to his pleasures and his goal for the rest of your life. When the psalmist says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He had already been through the valley. He had already been put on display before his enemies. And so what I'm saying to you today is that God says, you were dead in your trespasses and sin, and I saved you, and I made you over. Now for the rest of your life, what will you do? What will you do for me? How will you live?